morning, sir. Before we get started, now what is your name, sir?
I'm the president, Warren Greaves.
What's your last name?
It's a Greaves.
Greaves?
Greaves.
Chief, who is that?
He's the man that's brought.
Greaves.
G-R-E-A-V-E-S. Okay, sir, the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson is going to conduct your hearing. He will be your lead, so if you just hold on, the next voice you will hear will be that of the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson, sir.
Good morning, sir. How are you this morning?
I'm well, sir.
Sir, you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. Could you just please state your full name and your ADC number for us for the record? Okay, sir. Mr. Greaves, could you just do me a favor? Can you lean back? Because we're looking right at the topic before you. That was all. All right, sir. I'm going to introduce you to the board. Sir, I'm going to introduce you to the board members conducting your hearing. To my far left is the Honorable Luis Quinones. Coming down the line is the Honorable David Neal. In the middle, you have the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who's our board chair. To my immediate left is the Honorable Mrs. Gail Rittenhouse. And sir, my name is Michael Johnson. I'm going to be acting as your hearing lead this morning. Also with us, Mr. Green.
I see everybody except you, yes.
You don't see me?
No, sir. I see you.
Okay. Well, she's right next to me. Maybe, let me, that's, see, no, it's not I, just a little bit to make a noise. Is that better?
Yes, I see the chair.
It's all right. You see me rocking on this chair? All right, so I don't know what we can do about that.
That's fine.
It's pretty small at the end there, yeah.
All right, so also with us today, sir, representing the Department of Correction as well as your parole office, is Mr. Turner, sir. I believe you can see Mr. Turner on the screen now.
Yes.
Okay, Mr. Greaves, prior to your hearing today, you received and you signed a notification form that advised you that you were going to have this hearing today. Do you recall receiving and signing that form, sir?
I do, sir.
Okay, on that form, it notified you of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or to hire a licensed attorney to represent you at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney or are you representing yourself today, sir?
I am doing myself, sir.
Okay. All right, then, Mr. Greaves, at this time, I'd like to swear you and Mr. Turner in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
I do, sir.
Okay, so your hearing is going to be conducted in two phases. In phase one, the board will make a determination whether the terms, condition of your community supervision have been violated. In phase two, we will determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. We're going to start out at phase one. You have one allegation listed on your warrant. I'm going to read that allegation to you. When I read you the allegation, I need you to state whether the allegation is either true or false. Do you understand what I'm requesting, sir?
I do, sir.
Okay. So the allegation on your warrant states that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 5, as demonstrated by your opening multiple checking accounts using Social Security's numbers other than your own between May 30th, 2018 to January 14th, 2019. Sir, I am also going to give you the option to either state whether it's true, false, or you can take the fifth, because I see you do have DR numbers attached to this warrant, and these hearings are tape recorded. So at any time, the defense or the prosecuting attorney can subpoena the records from this. So I'm going to give you the option to say whether it's true, false, or you want to take the fifth.
I'll take the fifth. What is
the
DR, sir?
That's a departmental report. That means that the police department wrote up a report, and as far as I know at this time, that may be still pending. I don't know if you've been to court on that or not, but just want to give you that option to protect your rights. Okay. All right, so knowing that you undertake the fifth on it, I'm going to go to the parole officer, Mr. Turner, to get some additional information, okay?
Allegation number one. On 1/11/2019, Senior Parole Officer Erickson was contacted by Don Blackman, a fraud investigator for Pima Federal Credit Union, PFCU. Ms. Blackman stated offender opened an account with PFCU in December using his name and a date of birth with a social security number. I'm going to admit that if that's okay.
Okay.
Social security number. Offender issued fraudulent checks off that account totaling approximately $1,000. So the account was closed and the loss charged off. Offender came in again on 1/5/19 and opened a second account in his name, this time using a different social security number. He issued approximately $470 in fraudulent checks off that account before that account was frozen. Offender also attempted to deposit checks drawn from off two different Wells Fargo's accounts into the PFCU accounts. The checks were all returned to Wells Fargo as insufficient funds, leading Ms. Blackman to believe offender had fraudulent accounts with Wells Fargo as well. Based on her suspicions, she was investigating with other banks' credit unions to see if there was any further activity. On 1/22/2019, Ms. Blackman called back. She contacted fraud investigators at other credit unions in the Tucson area and was able to determine that offender had charged off loss accounts at PFCU, loss of $1,483.67, Wells Fargo loss of $3,030, Tucson Federal Credit Union loss of $1,397.70, Hughes Federal Credit Union loss of $288, Pyramid Federal Credit Union loss of approximately $3,000, with more checks left to clear. Vantage West Federal Credit Union loss of $2,951.09, and Navy Federal Credit Union no loss amounts available. The first of these accounts was opened on 5/30/18, the last on 1/14/19. In total, there were six different Social Security numbers used. None of them were offender's listed Social Security number, ending in 9194. When opening the accounts, offender presented Arizona driver's license D07096204, Arizona driver's license D07096204, or valid ID 12275079900. Offender was contacted and directed to report to the Tucson parole officer. He reported 1/28/2019 as directed. In speaking with the offender, he eventually admitted that he had opened the fraudulent accounts. He stated he had been sick and lost his job, so he needed money. He said he planned on paying the banks back and claimed he had already made arrangements with one of the banks. He did not recall which one it was. The offender was arrested in office without incident and transported to ASPC Tucson. Follow-up. Incident to arrest, offender was searched. There were two checks in the offender's pants pocket drawn off a Wells Fargo account written to himself in the amount of $500 each for a total of $1,000. This was consistent with offender's fraudulent activities, where he would deposit a check drawn off one of his fraudulent accounts via ATM into another of his accounts, thus inflating the account balances, then make a cash withdrawal. There were five debit cards in the offender's wallet, two from U.S. Bank and one each from Tucson Federal Credit Union, Wells Fargo, and Vantage West Credit Union. Arizona driver's license D07096204 and VAID 12275079900 were also in the offender's wallet. On 2/4/19, Senior Parole Officer Erickson spoke with Sergeant Frey at the Financial Crimes Unit of Tucson Police Department. Sergeant Frey indicated she would be assigning the case to a detective within her unit for further investigation. She also said there was an additional bank involved, one Arizona credit union that wasn't on the initial list this officer was provided.
Okay, Mr. Graves, you pleaded the fifth in this, so I'm not going to ask you any questions. I'm going to go ahead and move this on to the next. next phase, so that's why I'm gonna move to find that you were delinquent, that you did violate the terms and conditions of your supervision, that you may have lapsed or about to lapse into criminal roles or company. That would be my motion.
Second.
Motion by myself, second by Ms. Woodhouse, agree, Dr. Wright, Mr. Quinones, and Mr. Neal.
So, excuse me, sir?
Yes, sir.
Now, if you move,
Well, we can't, once you plead the fifth, sir, we can't ask you any questions, but I'm going to go into phase two of your hearing. During phase two is when we'll make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you on your community supervision, and you'll have an opportunity at that time if you want to explain anything, okay?
Okay, sir, I understand.
That's all right. All right, Mr. Turner. We're going to get some additional information from Mr. Turner at this time.
Yes, sir. Griggs was released from ADC custody on 5/17/2018 and arrested on 1/28/2019 by ADC on a tech violation. At that time, there were no charges pending. He was returned back to ADC custody on 1/28/2019 with a CSED of 5/17/2019 with zero abscondes. Current convictions, 2009 fraudulent schemes, artifacts, 7 years. 2010, commitment A, count two, theft, 1 year. 2010, commitment A, count three, theft, 3 years, 6 months. 2010, commitment A, count four, theft, 1 year. He has no prior convictions. This is his first term in ADC with a CUIR score of 3-1, mental health score of 3. He does not have a substance abuse score at this time. There's no STG information noted. There's no prior terms of supervision. Disciplinary is minimal. However, after his return to custody, he received a major disciplinary for a positive test for cocaine on a drug test. However, that was dismissed due to the offender having a prior procedure before arrest. Other arrests, 1998, theft, organ, felony conviction, probation. 1999, obtaining money with bogus checks, organ. Felony conviction, probation. 1999, theft, organ, felony conviction, probation. 1999, theft, means of transportation, organ, felony conviction, probation. 2002, obtaining money with bogus checks, Oregon County Jail. 2002, escape second degree, Oregon County Jail. 2002, theft, Oregon County Jail. 2011, parent fell support, 1996, Oregon felony conviction probation.
What was that?
It says parent fell support. I'm assuming it's a child support issue. That would be an assumption. And that was from 1996 out of Oregon, felony conviction probation. 2012, theft, Oregon, felony conviction state prison. 2017, fraud, Texas, pending charges. 2017, theft, Texas, pending charges. He has a GD score of G1, B1, status of charges. Per the Tucson Police Department Financial Crimes Unit, the case is in the process of being assigned to a detective.
Okay, so that's pending, right? All right, Mr. Graves. So I'm going to go over some information with you that we have on the warrant, and then see if there's any questions that I have or the board have, and give you an opportunity to present any information that you'd like to present to the board, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. So it looks like when you were released, you were approved to stay at the Paxton House.
Yes, sir. Well,
yes, sir. Yeah, 2414 East 24th Street in Tucson. Then it looks like on July 11th of 2018, you were approved to move to your own apartment at 1620 North Wilmot Road, in Tucson, Arizona, and said that was the last address that they knew you had. Were you still standing at that address when you were arrested, sir?
I was, sir. The thing I was here was after I talked to my parole officer, I think it was Erickson, and before I was having the moving out of there, I was going back to Patson House, where I had approved to move back into Patson House.
Okay.
And my lease was up there, and I couldn't find a place, so I called Miss Jones, who worked at Patson House, a successful first day, and I was going back to Patson House until I found, because I have a significant other, but I wasn't going to see her, so we do what I find with my parents. So I talked to Miss Jones, who said, I'm moving into local, so we were able to sell her and get the door from there.
Okay.
See, her brother has a student apartment.
Okay.
So we're trying to be there, I was going back to Patson House until we could find some place.
All right, sir. So I see that looks like, on May 31st, looks like you were reported that you were working for Perfection Powder Coating. Then looks like on September 12th of 18, you said that you were no longer working. It was unemployed, but you had enrolled with Eagle Transportation School to obtain a CDL. Is that right?
Yes, sir. Also, a matter of fact, the week of the week before, I got hired by Walmart for a truck driving.
Uh-huh.
And on the 4th of February, it was passed, I was supposed to start their driving school. And work for Walmart's truck driving. First afternoon, I talked to the PO, this, Nancy. I talked to her in December because I'm sure my mom was out, so I said, I'm sorry. I was instructed then on the 4th of February, I had to stay in state until I got parole. Just drive around in state for a while, so then. So I had a job, I was still in the habit, so I went, and I started moving back into the passing house.
Okay. So it looks like that you were assigned to do UAs. You were given the color olive. You submitted a specimen on July 19 that was negative and as directed. Then you failed to drug test when your color was called in July. In August, the color system was changed to the PIN number. You were not directed to enroll in any other program. So, Mr. Graves, did you relapse and start back using drugs or what?
No, sir. What my problem was, sir, was this starting in summer. I fell off the wagon. I lost my plumage or some sobriety. And as I said, I've been sober for close over 4 years. If I have a lot of chance of things that hit me, I was trying to broke a fellow back when I started reading.
Yeah.
And you can see what
So you said that was in December, sir?
Yes, sir.
So you had 20 years of sobriety and you fell off in December. What caused you to fall off, sir? What led to that?
There's something that led to that, sir. I'm at the table. It's, I have a specialist that says epilepsy and he's regressing. The hardest part, the worst part of that is my mom. I've seen my mom for 7 years, actually since 2009. She wrote me a few times when I was in prison. I've never had to talk to her. When I got out of prison, I wanted to go see her. I couldn't go. She couldn't come over, and that's what I found out. She was diagnosed with that. She's now in a wheelchair by the one eye. And I don't know the terminology, I don't know the words, but I think it's Alzheimer's, where if you get
yes, sir.
I'm not, she's an old chief, well, I see at least attorney James, but she's, she had a good case, she went to my own, some days she does. A lot of things I did. Yes, I have a history of writing checks, and I'm not saying, I'm not condoning anything. What I did, in my mind, it's, my mom's the only person I've ever had. We had a little child, she and I were together forever. And, she's my rock, she always has been. And to see her, strongest person I know, weak, in a wheelchair, you know, it broke me. You know, to hear a doctor tell me that, you know, she's regressing, reading fast as far as memory and losing her, and losing her vision. That's what I'm just starting to get into again. And is that I did that before where I was casting because of whatever, because I would be stupid. Yes, I wrote, both my sons and my daughter and my mom were here. So we can all have one time to do this. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if she's going to, I don't know. And that's just put it on the table. There's no excuse about how I felt sorry about it. I messed up. I did.
Okay.
But I would hope a lot of my family there one more time. I don't know what's going to happen to my mother. I don't. But she's running fast, and like I said, it's the hardest thing for me, the strongest person I've ever known in my life.
Well, that's a very hard thing, Mr. Greaves. I think all of us, you know, with our parents have seen them undergo some type of Alzheimer's, and you're right, it's a very difficult thing to go to see your loved ones, almost deteriorate in front of you. So we do understand and wish your mom the best, sir. Let me see if the board has any additional questions for you, sir.
May I ask one more thing, sir, real quick?
Yes, sir.
If I may?
Yes, sir.
Well, sir, I am not, by no means am I asking the board for saying, you know, anything more than what I'm not. Okay? I made that mistake, I made that choice, and I made the mistake before then. Okay? Reasons I did it, yes. Is it wrong? Yes. I'm going to be the third one, but the thing is, I'm just willing the opportunity. I said, I've already said the sandwich with Patrick Thompson, we're very confident. She says I'm walking back to the open arms. I'm moving with house arrest and then back to prison. This was the opportunity to start to be there, but he said, here in the office of the phone, I can't afford it in here. So.
Okay. Sir, the board is going to go into discussion. While we're in discussion, Mr. Graves, we will make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate your community supervision. I'm going to ask you to remain on the line so that you can hear the discussion taking place, and then I'll get back with you when the board has made their decision, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. So the board's now going into discussion. It appears that Mr. Graves is, when he first got out, he was doing good. It looks like he was doing good. He had a job. He was working and helping with his mom. He actually says that his mother is ill and has Alzheimer's and is starting to deteriorate pretty rapidly. So he brought his kids out here so that they can have an opportunity to spend some time together. And he was able to do those things. Unfortunately, you know, according to the warrant, there's some allegations that he's actually been writing some bad checks since May 30th of 2018, and he was just, you know, that's within 2 weeks after he was released. He was released on May 17th of 2018 when he was released from Florence, and according to the warrant, there's just a continual process of where he continued to write checks. And because Mr. Greaves has a long history of writing checks in Oregon and also in Texas and now here in Arizona, of writing checks, and that he's also in custody for fraud and three counts of theft that he's actually had here, although he has minimal discipline since he's been in custody. He does have these current charges that are pending. I think that based on all that information, I think it's good Mr. Greaves has the opportunity to spend some time with his mom and his family. But he has a release date that's a little less than 3 months away, May 17th of 2019. I think it's going to be best for Mr. Greaves to go ahead and finish up his time there, since he's in custody and he gets out, he won't be on any parole or community supervision. He has to make up a decision whether he wants to, when he gets out, do the right thing and not get in any more trouble or not. I would hope that he would decide not to continue to go down that road, and he's proven to himself that he can get a job. Actually, according to him, he's had two jobs that he actually had. One job he was working for a company, and then he subsequently lost that job, and then he said that he was in line to get a job at Walmart. He was hired by Walmart to drive trucks, and he was going to get his CDL. But I think he should probably also try to go do some AA or NA classes while he's in custody, since he says he had sobriety for 20 years and he fell off of the sobriety back in January. That he can get himself strong so that when he gets out, he'll be a productive citizen and not get in any more trouble, and hopefully get a job, and we never have to see Mr. Greaves come back before this board again. That's my opinion, and I'm willing to listen to the rest of the colleagues. Hearing no comments coming from the colleagues, and I'm going to move to revoke the community supervision of Mr. Greaves, find that he was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of his supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways or a company, as he does have a case pending at this time for criminal activity.
Second.
Agreed. Okay, motion by myself. Second, Ms. Rittenhouse. Agree with Mr. Neal, Mr. Kilianis, Dr. Wright. Okay, Mr. Greaves.
Sure.
Sir, the board has voted to revoke your community supervision. You do have a release date of May 17, 2019, which is a little less than 3 months from now. Try to take NA or AA classes while you're there. Really take some time to think about getting yourself together. So when you get out, sir, you will you have proven that you can get a job. As a matter of fact, you had two jobs. And when you get out, get a job, sir, not be involved in any criminal activity so that you can continue to live a productive life and not have any negative contact with law enforcement. So we want to wish you the best of luck. We also want to wish the same thing for your mom and your family, sir. I do want to thank you for taking the time and opportunity for appearing in this hearing today, sir. That is going to conclude your hearing at this time. Could you just please set the phone down? Don't hang it up. Just set it down so the next person could come in.
I think
you're right. You too. Thank you, sir.